Yizit, the spiritual seekers, the name of the manach for the Parshas Mishpatim for the Sabbath of the 10th of February, after the Exodus, after Moses received 10 commandments. Now we go into a Parsha full of spiritual secrets, full of information, and that is the Aquarius energies. When you have been to college and been to university and been to studying or reading a book, it's very nice, it's very informative, it's what you do when you're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. But then it comes a point that I want to live in the real world and I want to practice what I preach. I don't just want to read the textbook, I want to get on with it. When people go to study to become a doctor in university, they study and they study, but they really want to get on with it. They want to get on with the job, they want to get on with healing people, mending people, fixing people. When a dentist is learning in dental school, they're learning, they want to get on with fixing people's teeth. They want to get on with it. A car mechanic, he obviously is working under somebody, but he wants to do it himself. He wants to get on and do it himself. We've all got an instinctive urge inside us, and that is, I don't just want to look at other people doing things, I want to do it too. And it all starts from when you're a baby. You see your parents walking. You see the baby. Babies clever. Babies are alert. Babies are astute. Babies see adults are walking, and they want to walk too. They see your parents doing things. Teenagers see their parents doing things. They want to do it too. They see children see things on the internet, and they want to do it too. You talk about, for example, pornography on the internet. They see what it's all about, but they want to do it too. They come on again. I want a real girlfriend. I want a real boyfriend. I want a loving relationship. So we are impressed by, our mind and soul is impressed by what we see. And when we see something energetic and alive and exciting and exhilarating and, for the sense of teenagers, grown up, I want to do something grown up too. Many boys, especially teenage boys, we all want to get on a moped, a motorbike, we want to get movement, we want to have freedom, we want to drive an automobile, we want to get our first automobile, first set of wheels. So it's a sense of, I see other people doing it, I want to do it too. And that is how we progress in humanity. When you saw him back in 2003, 4, 5, everybody had a BlackBerry. You wanted a BlackBerry too. When you saw the iPhone came out in 2007, you wanted an iPhone too. So it's all about, you see other people got it. You see it makes an impression on you. It makes a very good impression on you. And you want it too. You see the functionality of it. I want it too. So it's a copycat energy. But it's a copycat energy because it's made an impression on your soul. That's the key word. It's made an impression on you. There are some things that you see people like dressing in certain clothes and wearing earrings or whatever they do, or having tattoos. Some people, you look at them and go, not for me. Or some people will look at it and go, I want one too. In the army where all the soldiers, all the strong soldiers have a special tattoo on their arms to define that they are really Marines, they are great soldiers. So they want it too. They copy somebody that they respect because it's made an impression on them. And that's what this week is all about. Because it makes an impression on you, your soul and your heart and your mind and your thoughts wants you to want it too. And it is a constructive energy. It is not a destructive energy. So now let's go into the parsha, the first paragraph of the parsha, which talks about a servant. No, I want to call him a slave, although the translation is a slave, because some people feel like they're working like slaves, and slavery did happen in the biblical times. Nonetheless, it's servant. You're working for 6 years that's what the parasha talks about. You're working for 6 years, and it comes to, after 6 years, it's the Torah says, the Bible says, the commandment says, you should never work somewhere more than 6 years, unless you really love it. You should never continue with something for 6 years. After 6 years, never, you have to stop and you have to end it. That's what Evidivri is all about. So it's all about recognizing in our cycle of life, and you could say it's the Jupiter cycle, all the 6 days of the week cycle. 6 days of the week, you're working like a donkey, and then you need a day off. Your day off on Sunday or Saturday or Sunday on Shabbos, you need a day off in order to contemplate. How was that week? How did you accomplish something last week? Are you happy with the way your life? A review section, a review of your life. But the six-year cycle is, in fact, what we call the Jupiter cycle. Jupiter is 12 years, and halfway during this Jupiter cycle, six-year cycle, we review what happened 6 years ago. 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, are you a happier person than you were in 2018? In order to understand, you have to think back to 2018. Well, what was life like then? Are you happier now than you were then? And if you're happier, it was because certain things, certain destined things happened to you, for you, because of you, and you love them very much, and you never want to let them go. However, if there are things that you've been doing as a routine since 2018, and it hasn't brought you any luck, and it hasn't brought you any energy, and it hasn't given you any upliftment, and it's just been boring, and it's just been useless, and it's just been getting on your nerves, and you feel like you're a slave, you feel like you're working like a donkey, you feel as though you can't take it anymore, then this week's parsha, the Aquarius energies. We just had New Moon in Aquarius, Pluto in Aquarius, Mercury in Aquarius. Even though for the past 6 years you put up with it, That's the definition. Even though that particular phase of Pluto in Capricorn, you put up with it. Pluto in Aquarius, New Moon in Aquarius, this week's parsha says, no, you don't have to put up with it anymore. If you honestly feel, that's why the reason why me as an astrologer, I tell some people, wait. Just wait to see how you feel in February. Just wait to see how you feel with the planets in Aquarius conjunct Pluto in Aquarius. Wait to see how you feel. And anything that is toxic, anything that is negative, anything that makes you feel drained, I'm not getting anything out of it, I just feel drained, then it's time to put a stop to it. You say the same with respect to health and foods that we eat. If you eat something every single day or drink something every single day and it doesn't do any good and it makes you feel irritable, it's not digesting well, stop it. Simply stop it. If you do things on the internet and it's not doing you any good, stop it. If you're doing whatever you're doing in life and it's not working for you, then stop it. And the one great thing about the Noam Elimelech in his book is that when he's talking about believing in God, because of course we believe in God, but the Noam Elimelech asks people, and he's not just talking about Jewish people, he's talking about asking everybody, when you say your prayers and you feel that your prayers aren't being answered, your prayers aren't being answered. It's a fact of life. You're praying and they're not being answered, so your God is useless. God, for you, whoever you're praying to, whatever your thoughts are, is useless. And that is one of the reasons why people do change religions. They go looking for a God that does answer their prayers. It is, I think it's a very fascinating craze that's going on at the moment. And it is fascinating. The Koreans are technically, they believe in Buddhists and some of them are atheists, but they believe in, they're learning the Talmud. The Koreans, they're learning the Talmud. It's fascinating. Koreans, far away from anything Jewish, they're learning and appreciating something about Judaism, about the Talmud, because they see there's wisdom in it and they want to understand the mind of the way that Jewish people have created something from nothing. Their belief system has created something from nothing. The inventors, like Albert Einstein, have been inspired to create something from nothing. Oppenheimer and all the other Jewish scientists you've seen in the movie there, Oppenheimer, they tapped into some special knowledge. It's not special knowledge, it's just that you're listening to God. You're listening to God that you believe in. You're listening to some higher force, higher power, higher understanding. Read some of the things, the YouTube clips about Albert Einstein, his understanding of humanity. Understand, it's a lot of it's from the Talmud. It's a lot of it's from, it's just the fact that. So Noam Elimelech, when he gives inspiration, he wants it to become a practical guide to live in the real world. In the Noam Elimelech itself, he defines breaking free, because that's what Evidivri is about. You've been doing something for 6 years, and then you break free. The first step of breaking free from anything, and let's talk about, for example, people who have been married or have been in a toxic relationship, you might be in there, you might be living with them, you might still be in bed together, but you don't love him or her anymore. You don't love yourself anymore. You stop loving, you stop caring about yourself, you realize now, I don't love my life. Lots of people in the world are married and they just don't love their life anymore. They don't love their partner anymore, but they feel like, oh, I'm stuck. Sometimes they're stuck because of their children. Sometimes they become stuck because of other reasons. They just feel stuck. Oh, this isn't right. Evidivri is married. He was a married servant and he had a shifra as well. He was married, even though he was working like a donkey, working like a slave. He was married. But it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel right. So the Torah says, the Bible is saying, the spiritual secret this week is saying, break free. You don't have to stick there forever. Life is too short to stay in a miserable, toxic marriage or relationship. And that's one thing to remember learning about King Henry VIII. The reason why King Henry VIII was fascinated by Judaism, this is back in the 15th century, was because he had six wives. And he heard that in the Jewish religion, unlike Catholic religion, the King of England, King Henry VIII, he heard that Jewish religion allowed divorce. Oh, they allow divorce. It's permitted. It's in the Bible. Yes, it is in the Bible. The Bible says you're allowed to get divorced. You, in fact, it's a mitzvah. It's a good thing to get divorced. It's a blessing to get divorced because, well, you chose the wrong one. You had free will choice to make a choice. You chose the wrong one, and therefore you regret choosing the wrong one, and therefore you get divorced, and it's allowed. King Henry VIII, therefore, got a set of Talmud, the Venice, famous Venice Talmud, that is in London, the museum, is because he saw that, and then he got away from the Catholic Church and then made his own religion, Protestant religion, because, I don't believe, Church of England is all made up because King Henry VIII stopped believing in Catholic Christianity, stopped believing in their rules, and followed the Jewish rules of allowing divorce. When our mind says, I can't do it, it's because you've probably been told by your parents or somebody that you can't do it. But when your mind says, I can do it, when you found a religion that says you can do it, when life this week with Christianity says you can do it, then I'll become Jewish. I'll become Jewish because it says you can do it. You're allowed to do it. When the Aquarius energy this week says you're allowed to do things now this month, this astrological month, that things that you couldn't do a month ago, well, I can do it now. I've got the energy to do it now. When you're given the energy to do something, when you're given the inspiration, we often say in life, especially when we talk about scientists or inventors or creators on the internet, like in the Talk It app, they give an inspiration. They're puzzled by something, and then they find, oh yeah, I'll try that on the internet. I'll try doing that differently. And when you do something differently, because of inspirational energy, then all of a sudden, oh, now it works. I remember many years ago, my psychic friend Christina told me about doing funny audios on the internet. Uplifting audio, not just astrology audio, not just giving a sermon, giving a speech, but give something upliftment. When you give something upliftment, it changes the energy of the content of what you're saying. It brings happiness to people's lives. Oh yeah, I'm being inspired by Johnny Waxman's audio, being inspired by Noam Elimelech. It brings upliftment. When you are uplifted because of a uplifting energy, it puts you in a good mood. One of the Talmidim, one of the disciples of the Noam Elimelech was a man, a rabbi called Rabbi Horowitz, known as the Ropshitzer Rav, who's buried here in Anschutz in Poland. And he was a comedian. One of his sidelines, one of the things that he did as a side, as making money on the side, or for his panus on the side, was he a comedian. He used to go to weddings, and the weddings, they have an orchestra playing, and they have a comedian. They have a joker, a jester. There's somebody that tells jokes, and he told jokes. He uplifted people by telling jokes. That's the way he was. He said things like, one of his famous punchlines was, I'd rather sit next to a very wise man in hell than sit next to a perfect, pure, wonderful, boring soul in heaven. What he was trying to say is somebody that doesn't think for themselves. They might end up in heaven, but they haven't earned it. They haven't done anything for it. Somebody that is thinking for themselves, even if you make mistakes, talking about going to hell. The reason why people say that people go to hell is because you made a mistake. You made a mistake, you go to hell. But he was saying something deeper than that. He was saying, it's better to make a mistake than do nothing with your life. Better to give something a try than do nothing with your life. You know, the Judaism, we push people, entice people, encourage people to get married, to be in a loving relationship. Doesn't matter if you're married or not. Doesn't matter. What matters is you're in a relationship. Priests and I think Catholic religion and some Buddhist monks, they abstain from sex. Technically they do, but maybe they don't really, right? Maybe they get up to some hanky-panky, but it is about living in the real world. And this week's Parsha Mishpatim is about living in the real world, analyzing your life in the real world, and saying with the six-year cycle, the 6 days of the week, but it's more particularly the six-year cycle of Jupiter, is saying if you've been doing something and it's really producing energy for you, then it's a success. If you're doing something and it's just draining you and you're not happy, you're really not happy, then the Aquarius energies in this week's parasha says, time to review. And in your mind, you say, I don't want to do it anymore. When you are in a relationship, in a toxic relationship, you might still be living with them, but in your mind, you make a decision. There comes a moment in the marriage when we break apart, when we fall apart. We make a decision in the mind, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. I just decided I don't want to be in this relationship. I don't want to be this cannot be my life. This cannot be my destiny. And therefore, the reason why you feel that your destiny is talking to you this week is because your feelings are telling you, this isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't right for me. Or it's saying, this is right. This is very much right. And when you feel that something's really, really right, you made your decision. Decisiveness in life is defined by destiny. And destiny is defined by, I know what I'm doing is really right. I have no doubt in my mind that what I'm doing, what I'm eating, what I'm drinking, where I'm living, what I'm doing is absolutely right for me. It's a conviction of energy. It's up to you to feel that conviction of energy and then to make the decisions. To make the decisions, you make the decision in your mind first. I really want a better quality of life. I really want a loving relationship. I really want what's really right. I want my destiny. And when your heart really wants it, your mind will be open to it, and then it comes into your life.